we are back here with the Hartford Edge here on AM 970 WAMD. My name is Mark.
And my name is Cindy.
We have a gentleman on the phone actually calling us from out of state, from Delaware. His name is Donald Mann. He's author of OK God, Now What? And we're going to be talking about, since we are in the midst, the thick of things.
It feels like the thick of things in the political
yes,
season.
Well, no, I'm talking about this room here.
Yeah, it's thick in here, too.
We're going to talk about political slogans and how they are used to, obviously, to get your vote.
Yeah, that is the point, of the, as far as I know.
I'm
no political scientist, but
no,
I
but
thought
you are a political junkie.
As are you.
As I am.
Yeah, so welcome, Don Mann.
Hey, good morning. Glad to be there, Mark and Cindy.
Oh, we there we go. You there, Don?
Yes.
Hey, Don, good morning.
Morning.
Let's talk about political slogans. We are, what, about 40, 39 days from...
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
The big election, and we have two people that obviously are running, Governor Mitt Romney and President Barack Obama, and these guys, I mean, you know, they're planes, they're coaches, they're bumper stickers, they're all festooned with a slogan. And why are slogans so important?
Well, the reason slogans are so important is because that's the way the human brain operates. We actually, the way we operate is that we run, normally 95% of our life is actually run by our subconscious mind. And it sends slogans or short statements to our conscious mind or our aware mind to direct us to what the next actions are. So slogans tap into where you already are and try to find ways to link into you so that you'll then do what the slogan says.
Can you give me a, for instance, an example?
Oh, I give you a great for instance, you know, is that, Mitt Romney's slogan right now is Believe in America. Now, what's...
We didn't even know it.
Oh,
right?
I said, we need Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah. No, I suspect your research, Mark.
Yeah, well, I slant way to the
yeah,
left.
Yeah, he's a leftist over there. I think he threw the research. What is it? It's Believe
in America, which is a very positive thing, right?
Sure.
It means that when you look at a problem or a challenge, says, okay, we can do this, right? Now, the other one is by Barack Obama is Forward, and that one says, I'm in charge, follow me. So there's two very different political philosophies expressed by those words, by the different slogans, trying to tap into where people already are in their subconscious mind.
And the subtext.
Absolutely. So that but what happens in the subconscious mind is you're not aware of what the processing that's going on. The way the human brain operates is that the subconscious mind operates at 11 million bytes per second. The conscious mind operates at 15 to 40 bytes per second.
Wow. And some people's conscious mind works on a little less.
Yeah. Well,
well, I was giving you the lower end at 15.
Company excluded.
Okay, but...
But now, is there something, you know, the choice of words, obviously, slogans are fairly short, right? They've got to be succinct. You can't...
Well, slogans...
...graph on a bumper sticker.
Slogans don't have to be short. They can be long. The Pledge of Allegiance to America is a long slogan, is a category of a slogan. Okay. Okay, a slogan is a short encapsulation of a lot bigger idea, okay, so that the message is that it pulls up a lot of images to you as to whatever it's talking about. So you can have long slogans, sometimes they're called affirmations or proverbs, or you can have very short ones, and part of the message is given is to get you to be aware of what's going on. The issue is that in what we have discovered, I think worldwide, is that there's two kinds of slogans, essentially. One is a positive one, like Forward, sounds pretty positive. I mean, every John Wayne movie I ever saw had somebody go forward when he said forward, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But there's the other part is negative slogans, or negative messages, and negative statements. Well, if you look at the political media that's going on right now, the typical advertisement is a very short phrase of, like, forward, and then 97 phrases about what's wrong with the other guy.
Okay.
So what we have discovered is what works to win political elections is negative campaigning.
Right. Yeah, nobody likes it. Everybody complains about
everybody
it.
Everybody uses it.
Yep, because it works.
But because it works, and the reason that it works is because it taps into the fears that people already have. And that's the danger of political slogans. Because what it does is it attacks your personal self-identity, makes you powerless, limits your thinking, get you to accuse others, get you to deny the facts, and you can't solve problems. Not only can you not solve your own problems, but you can't solve the nation's problems. It leaves you helpless. And that's the danger of the negative campaigns, but they have found that what happens is people aren't aware of that, and frankly, because the only resistance to it is a strong self-identity. And if you have a strong self-identity, you'll become analytical. It says, okay, this is the facts, this is the facts, that's the facts. But when you're operating out of an emotion and they're triggering fear, then your brain shuts down.
And are there certain words or word phrases that are typically used in slogans that can evoke these feelings of fear or feelings of the positive feelings? I mean, you know, we talked about the word believe and forward and, you know, are there certain sort of word phrases that you see over and over again in political slogans to watch out for?
Yeah, the biggest one is called, is a real simple word. It's called but, B-U-T.
Okay.
Because whenever you say the word but, you've just ignored what was going on before, and you now exaggerate what you're focusing on.
Okay.
So you're a nice guy, Mark, but...
Right. This is always second...
You parked in my spot.
Right.
Right.
Well, the person you're listening to on this line is Donald Mann, author of OK God, Now What? Scientist and businessman. You've written a number of spiritual books. The OK God, Now What? Is available at Borders and online. You can check it out at www.okgodnowwhat.com. Let's get back to the political slogans. The they have to, like Cindy was saying about the a short, concise slogan. You have to get that on a bumper sticker. You know, in 08, Obama said believe. I mean, we've used that here in Baltimore, Maryland for years.
Mm-hmm.
The believe.
Yeah, but have you seen that very powerful image of the word believe on a dilapidated park bench?
Have. Well,
that can cut both ways, depending on where you slap that thing up.
There used to be the Baltimore City, or Baltimore, the city that reads, and it used to be on dilapidated park benches and so forth. So what Cindy's getting at is a good point, Don. Not only is the slogan, the message important, but the vehicle that the slogan is on, I'm not talking about the car.
Like if it's like on your crummy car, that's not good.
That says something about it too, am I right?
Absolutely, but the thing is that you have really, again, two kinds of slogans, positive and negative. And there's a part of us that wants to respond to the positive, but many times what triggers the emotional content is the negative. And just like you said, when you see the park bench with the positive slogan and things are dilapidated around it, I mean, you know, part of it is it does take time to develop. And that's part of one of the things that's key about the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind operates from, at any moment, what's already programmed into it. It's already what's historically been in there, not what you want to do. Like you're taught to go to school and study something, and you can memorize it in 5 minutes, pass it on a test. The subconscious mind doesn't work that way. What happens is the affirmations and slogans it throws up to your conscious mind are what's been built in there over months in the past.
Of course, that's different for every person, right?
We're absolutely, everything is different in terms of what's in there, but the process is the same.
Yeah, but certain slogans, certain words are going to tap into sort of the common fears or aspirations.
Yeah,
right.
And what the
America,
political campaigns are trying
United
to.
United States.
Yeah.
And that's what you see going on right now, as a matter of fact. The political parties are both looking for slogans, affirmations that taps into where people already are. And they're looking for that right combinations of words that work. And, you know, the example that just talking to you earlier, some of these messages still aren't out to everybody that knows them automatically because they're still looking for the right combination that's going to work.
We didn't know what they were.
Yeah.
He's in charge of our research bureau, and he came up with two other slogans that you didn't mention. But I'm wondering.
And the thing is, we're not that naive politically. I mean, we stay on top of things.
We like politics, but I didn't know Mitt Romney's slogan. But I'm wondering how this translates into other fields such as sales.
You know? The biggest advertising program in a world is the American political process. The unique aspects of it is that in most other advertising programs, they focus on, overtly anyway, the positive. Okay? So that they tell you all the positive things you can get. And there's a subtle subtitle that says, if you don't have this, you're short, you know, you're lacking. But in the American political program, and actually it's worldwide everywhere, the campaign is actually 85% negative and only 5 or 15% positive. So it's a whole different kind of advertising that's going on in the political process.
Totally different from what Madison Avenue wants you to do.
Well, actually, it's being run by Madison Avenue, so it's...
This is their negative arm.
This is the positive arm
to sell you, you know, a washing machine. And then they have this guy in the back who does the,
right.
the political
He's behind
stuff.
The
right,
heated
yeah.
curtains, you know.
Yeah.
Like.
So I'm fascinated by, I have to say, Don, I'm fascinated by this idea that 95% of our... of our subconscious mind. What is it again? Give me that phrase.
We operate 95% of the time out of our subconscious mind, which means you're not even aware of it. You're just reacting to what's going on around you.
Yeah, so the big question is, how can you become aware of what is driving you? And I think also, how can you become aware of what's driving other people? Because they don't know.
Okay, well, for yourself, it really works for the same way as you look for a common set of ideals, and there's two ways for it can happen to build those into you, either by accident, by just your environment, or on purpose. And what I did in my book, Okay, God, Now What?, was to use a program that I developed actually when I was in a very tight place. I was really feeling fine. Things were going good. We even had a little spending money for a change, and I got called to my boss's office, and he said, I've got this job for you, and... I went in happy and came out numb.
What happened?
And as I was walking down the hallway, another vice president walked up to me and said, better men than you have tried to turn that plan around. So long, it's been nice knowing you. That was
you got a big promotion, but it turned out to be a difficult job that you were given.
It was an impossible job. It was to be able to turn around a plant. A whole town depended upon what we did. And it was a technical problem, not managerial. So what I had was a group of scientists and engineers with high technology who were locked in fear. Now get these words. They were in fear, denial, and accusation. They were not able to even recognize where they were and what they were doing. And the first thing I understood was a couple of things. I couldn't force them into any more fear because these are the only guys on the planet who understood the technology, how to fix it. Okay? Number one. Number two, the only guys I had to work with were these guys. And number three, I couldn't send them into more fear. So that drove me to my knees. And what I developed was a program for myself of self-identity in Christ in the scriptures. And from that springboard, was then able to deal with other people more effectively and not get them into fear. And you know what? We did it. In 6 years, we took those same people, that same company, and we went from losing to $500 million with the same people. And that almost never happens. So what I did was I took that same program I developed for myself, and it was 15 years later before I understood the science behind it, the science of the mind, and put that into the program that's in Okay, God, Now What?, so that anybody can develop their self-identity into such a way that they can withstand and lead others out of wherever they are, including themselves.
Can you give us a little brief summary of the, I know, realize this was a lot of work out of in your life. Can you give us sort of a brief summary of how somebody can get control and understand their what motivates them and get more insight into their own actions?
Okay, the quickest way to do that is with what I've done. Okay, God, now there's a lot of ways you can do that spends time in self-analysis and journaling and all this other sorts of stuff.
Shortcut, because we like the shortcut.
The shortcut really is to take what I put in the affirmations and Okay, God, Now What? And read them, and as you read them on a regular basis, they will start to scrub your mind of ineffective, incomplete, and poor self-identity concepts as you go through the process, like going through the washing machine.
So give us one of your favorite affirmations.
Oh, one of my favorite affirmations? Okay. I start off with this one. This is the very first one, affirmation A. Father, in the name of Jesus, use these confessions and affirmations to help me understand and walk in you and your great work in Jesus better. I am a son. Jesus is my Lord, and Jesus used me to save myself and others. He uses my hands, my mind, my mouth, even my entire life to bring his salvation to the earth. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for working in me and through me. That's just a small part of the affirmations.
Okay, so you're using a spiritual out to do that. That's understandable.
It's a spiritual app. It's of truth. And remember, the essence of this universe is that spiritual first, physical second.
Gotcha.
So you've been free your mind and the rest will follow.
Exactly. That's right.
Okay. Donald, thank you so much. The book is Okay, God, Now What? You can get that at, where can you get that besides?
You can get that at okaygodnowwhat.com. And for those who go in, I have actually a top 10 list of affirmations they can get for free. And the 10th caller or the 10th responder to the website can actually get a copy of the book for free.
Wow. Okay. Very good. So it's worth checking out. www.okgodnowwhat.com. Our guest has been Donald Mann, author of Okay, God, Now What. So, Don, thank you so much for coming on board this morning.
Hey, Ben, it's been a pleasure chatting with you both. Thanks a lot. Have a wonderful day.
Have a good weekend.
Too.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Don Mann. Kind of interesting, the whole take on the political slogans.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, and you are also listening to The Hartford Edge on AM 970 WAMD and on the internet at khctv.com, part of the KHCT.